and welcome to Exiting the 2010s, a podcast where we reflect and dissect the movies of the past 10 years. I'm your host, Jack Draper, and with me is my co-host, Clay Williams.
Hey, we're about to talk a movie that has no relation to Shia LaBeouf's childhood. There's just no connection at all.
Zero.
There's not even a little bit.
No.
Yeah, the whole thing is just made up.
It's fictionalized.
His dad had, is nowhere near.
He didn't even know his dad.
Yeah, exactly.
He was very supportive.
Yeah. He was an orphan.
Yeah. There's just no connection. And yeah. I just think that's important to point out.
Two peas in a pod. Really.
I think there's real no inspiration for any of the story, actually. He just kind of came up with it.
Yeah, he just like that. In fact, it was based on a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy Honey. But they retitled it, though. Just to make it a little more mainstream.
Another phenomenal joke.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to get a lot of that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to take a
bow. With us today is Katie Boother.
Hi.
Hello. So usually as an icebreaker, we'll ask our guests, what is your experience with just getting into movies as a whole? And what was your first time seeing Honey Boy?
Okay, so my first experience with getting into movies was in 2015 when my mom and I watched Ex Machina for the first time together. And that movie really, it made me cry for 3 hours. And it was all I thought about. And I bought it on DVD and rewatched it 100 times. And it just made me fall in love with movies, and especially movies about women and power struggles, and I just loved all of that so much. And after that, I got a Letterboxd, and then it kind of just took off from there. And then my first experience watching Honey Boy, I went by myself, and my friend had asked me to if I wanted to go with him, and I was like, no, I think this is kind of something I need to see by myself, since the subject matter was really personal to me. And I saw it, and I sat in my car for an hour afterwards and just cried again, more crying from me. And it hit so close to home, and I had never seen anything like it. And my first reaction wasn't that it was the best movie I'd ever seen, but then I saw it with my mom, and she adored it and cried as hard as I did. And then after that, it was the best movie. It's the best movie of 2019 for me by far. And I love it so much, and I recommend it to everybody. And it's one of my favorites.
Hmm. Yeah. Well said. It's funny you bring up Letterboxd, because I obviously knew you from there. And I remember, I was trying to think about this, what was the first time I saw Katie from Letterboxd? And it was I remember you were the first person that didn't take it seriously. You would just write your review for In Bruges and be like, hold me in your Irish arms, Colin Farrell.
Did I say that?
It was something like that. And it's
That's
just like,
so funny.
Who comes up with this? And I would be howling with laughter at your reviews junior year of high school when I first got my Letterboxd too. And I feel like I've known you for so long because of that. I don't know. It's weird.
That's so funny.
I started it
when I was a freshman. So I was so much younger than you.
Yeah. And now you're at 25,000 followers?
Yeah. I'm at 25,000 700 now, which is bizarre.
You're just hysterical, So I guess that's it. And so you've gained this following, and I knew you from there, and I don't know. It's just funny to see someone that is meant, I don't know, Letterboxd isn't Instagram, you know?
Right.
It's taken on, of course, there are multiple people like you, where it's you won't actually write Roger Ebert or Pauline Kael.
Yeah.
So, you occasionally will, but it's mostly just
whatever.
Yeah. So tell me what that's like, just before we get into the whole.
So going into Letterboxd. Yeah, with Letterboxd, I just the first review I ever wrote that got popular was the Human Centipede 3 review, which is still a movie I've never seen. And I was in the car and my phone fell on the floor and I was on the app and the poster flipped upside down and I noticed that it looked like a dinosaur and I thought that was so fucking funny. And so I just wrote the review and overnight it got like 100 likes and I was like telling my mom like, oh my God, I got like 100 likes on this review. I'm so famous. And we would just like make fun of me and I just kept getting these angry comments like, how dare you write this review and get so many likes? I can't believe that. Like, I spent 3 hours writing a review and it got one like, and I just thought it was so funny. And so I just kept writing these like short reviews. And to me, Letterboxd is just like you said, it's like a social media. It's not like I'm not writing for Roger Ebert. I'm not, you know, on like IndieWire. Like, I'm just writing whatever thoughts come into my head. And if people think it's funny, then they think it's funny. And if they don't, then that's fine. But I just enjoy like making lists and just writing down my quick thoughts. And it's just been really fun being on there. And like you said, just like meeting so many people.
Hmm? And that Human Centipede review was the end of the hateful comments, right? Like no more after that.
No more. I've never gotten a hate comment.
Weirdly enough. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just looked up the poster and... dear God, it does look like a dinosaur.
Upside down, it looks exactly like a dinosaur, and it's the stupidest shit. I don't know how that even happened, but yeah, it's so stupid.
I don't believe in God, but I feel like that was a miracle, what you experienced.
It was a miracle. Yeah, God is not, I don't believe in him, but he blessed me that day with that stupid poster.
That's but extraordinary.
Like you said, the hate comments never happened after that. Never got another one.
No, everyone loves what you say. Everyone loves your ratings. Right. It's really weird.
Yeah. Oh,
it's all praise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like my Song of Song. What is that stupid movie called? Song to Song? The Terrence Malick one. I think I have like 500 comments on that one just like telling me to kill myself, which is hilarious.
It's such a dumb movie. It's so dumb.
Clay, what do you think about it?
About Malick? Or
that
just...
movie in particular?
I've never seen it. Malick?
Yeah,
you I've seen The Thin Red Line, and that's it.
I've never seen that one.
That's good. That's a great movie.
Hidden Life. Hidden Life is amazing. I really love that movie.
I need to see it.
I question anyone that likes that To the Wonder... Song to Song.
That was a stretch for him. Like, yeah, that was a weird
just
time.
Like the worst parts of him. My first time seeing Honey Boy was the day it came on Prime. I was like anticipating it. Never just came to a theater near me.
Yeah,
and I was anticipating it ever since Sundance. Like I think the idea was really intriguing. We can get into Shia later, but Shia is a very interesting just pop culture icon to me.
Yeah.
And Lucas Hedges is a very exciting actor. So it was just like this idea has something to it, a good reception, but it might have been festival hype. And yeah, so my friend and I saw it that day it came on Prime and we're just like, That was something, huh?
Yeah.
It was just more like, we should really call our dads.
Yeah, exactly.
The same friend I saw Ad Astra with, you're just like,
oh, God. Those are two movies that just, like, broke me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ad Astra, that's my 2019, like, the way you describe Honey Boy is the way I feel about Ad Astra. It's just my thing.
Ad Astra is in my like top five of the year. I love that movie to death. It's so underrated, good.
I love that
and Honey Boy are my two daddy issue movies for the year.
There were a lot of daddy issue movies last year. Actually, I made a list.
I was thriving last year.
Same, Same.
Yeah.
Very
I
much
called
same.
My dad. I called my dad today in honor of our podcast just to say hi. And I was like, this is a lot. This is building up to the Daddy Issues podcast of today.
See if I can find my list. Because it's
I don't think I had a thought, but
okay. Yeah, can I say all the Daddy Issue movies?
Go ahead.
Knives Out. It's like huge Daddy Issues in Knives Out. Dolomite Is My Name. Doctor Sleep.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Joker, which the Kid Who Would Be King, Crawl, and Rocket Man.
Crawl is so good.
It's so good. I love Crawl. Saying that.
You should watch it. It's a masterpiece.
It truly is just a pure pulp horror great. Like, it's also just extremely well directed and made.
It's so fun.
It's so good.
Just does everything it needs to do.
Clay, but, when was the first time you saw it?
Honey Boy? Last night, after I read 20 pages of my sociology book. So I was in
the
mood. The book or the movie?
The movie.
The movie, yeah. No, it's great. I really dug it. So I knew it had, you know, it had a lot of elements of Shia's childhood. I knew that he wrote it, and I knew Alma Harrell?
Alma Harrell, yes.
Alma Harrell. I knew she directed it. I for some reason thought it was her directorial debut, but then I realized, oh no, she directed a few documentaries before that.
Yeah.
And it was unclear to me at the time before I saw it if how much of it was actually biographical, and I guess I'm still a little curious now, even after seeing it. But yeah, I didn't know too much about like the actual. I didn't know about any of the clown shit. I might have heard it once. I thought for some reason going into it that the dad was like much more abusive, like he was an actual like living piece of shit.
I did too.
But I was surprised when it at times it's sympathetic towards him, and so I'm like, oh, okay. We have a guest actually. We have another guest joining the podcast. Just out
this
of the
is
blue,
Jess.
Unannounced. It is Jess. Shia. Yes, it's
Shia LaBeouf.
As a cat. This is performance piece.
And she's gone.
I really dug it. I was kind of blown away of how like stylized it was. Just because I don't really know what I was expecting. I just knew it was like Daddy Issues, Shia LaBeouf plays his dad.
Did you know of it from Sundance?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I knew Lucas Hedges, who was my boy, who was my
lovely boy. You mentioned Noah Jupe.
Noah Jupe.
I'm going to go on a whole thing about my son. I love him to death. Love him
He's
so
one
much.
Of those people that you just instantly care about. He has one of the, like, some faces
it,
look right
it's
on
so
camera.
True.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
I've seen almost as many No Jupe projects than I have Shia LaBeouf. And I found that weird stat.
After I saw Honey Boy, I sought out every movie available from Noah Jupe, like the stupid one, The Titan, the with Sam Worthington or whatever his name is. It's awful, but he's in it. And then he's great in Ford v Ferrari too.
He is great.
Which I love that movie. And then it's another great one, another masterpiece.
Katie, you're just making
another Daddy Issues.
Making
right?
Another Daddy Issues movie. I think that counts. But him and Noah Jupe have a great relationship in that movie.
They really do.
It's not so much this Daddy Issues, but it's more like if your dad was healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Suburbicon, which is maybe the worst movie I've ever seen. It's so funny. I cannot believe that movie exists.
Clay, when's our Suburbicon episode?
I don't know, man. I barely know what that movie is.
You should watch it. It's Jack, have you seen it?
No, but I don't trust George Clooney directing after Monuments Men. So.
Good Night and Good Luck is a genuinely great movie, though. That's an awesome fucking movie.
I've always wanted to see that.
Yeah, I mean, also, I'm just a David Strathairn stan. Anything he does, I'm there. Love that man. I saw Ford v. Ferrari, A Quiet Place, and an episode he was on in Penny Dreadful before Honey Boy. And so I've seen like four No Jupe projects. And with Shia, I haven't really seen like a full movie besides maybe Fury of Shia. I've just caught him piece. I mean, I guess, and Crystal Skull, but like.
What about Nymphomaniac, everyone? What about. Yes.
Nymphomaniac, guys.
I think I've seen Eagle Eye. My experience with Shia has mostly been on cable. Like, I'll catch when I was younger, a bit of Transformers or a bit of Eagle Eye or a bit of an. And he was an iRobot, which I do not remember. I'm shocked. Like, I don't know where he was.
iRobot? Are you kidding?
Never seen it.
I haven't seen. Borg versus McEnroe or Peanut Butter Falcon or any of his newer movies either. I've just
Peanut
seen
Butter
Fury.
Falcon is great.
I hear it's good.
I never saw it either. Yeah, didn't it make lot of money. Like quietly, it made a lot of money.
Yeah, it really did. Like I it came out to like our AMC theaters here, and like one of my like friends who never sees movies went and saw it, and she was like, "Yeah, it was like my favorite movie I've ever seen," and I was like, "Okay."
It made 22 million worldwide, and I bet the budget was like 3 or 4.
Yeah,
it's a great movie. I recommend it.
I think it's just one of those August word of mouth.
We should talk. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you. You read my mind, Jack. What's your relationship with Shia?
I was a big Transformers kid growing up. My brother and I loved those movies, and that was really where I found him. I never watched Even Stevens, but I've caught him. Wasn't he in which one of those movies was he in? He was in one of those like Disney movies that I saw and just like scattered around. Or no, that was Big Fat Liar, the one with the other kid. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Wait, is that the Paul Giamatti movie?
Yes.
That's Frankie Muniz?
With Malcolm. Yes, yeah, Malcolm that one. In the middle.
I get them mixed up sometimes. But yeah, other than Transformers, I never really had much experience with him. And then Nymphomaniac, whenever I got a little older. And
straight to Transformers to Nymphomaniac.
Straight from Transformers to good old Lars von Trier. I love him.
Sharp right turn.
I would love to see a Lars von Trier Transformers movie.
That'd be fucking insane.
With Matt
what about Michael Bay directing Nymphomaniac.
Yeah, what? I can't even.
Oh my god.
The story of how Shia LaBeouf ended up in Lars von Trier makes me laugh. Did you guys know about that?
I don't know.
He wanted to get in the movie so bad that he recorded a sex tape of him and his girlfriend and sent it to Lars von Trier, and that's what got him the part.
Oh, Shia. Oh, Shia.
My good old boy.
I love it. Welcome. Who's the main actress again? Do you remember?
Oh, Charlotte or something.
Is it Charlotte Rampling? Okay.
Yeah. No, isn't that the older lady?
Oh,
is it Uma Thurman in that movie?
She is, you're right. I think Charlotte Rampling is older.
Oh no, Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Charlotte Gainsbourg, yes.
That's a last name.
I'm not sure your feelings on Antichrist. I think she's Antichrist too.
I hate that movie, but yeah, she is in that one as well.
Not his finest hour. I did watch Even Stevens.
Yeah, were you guys big Even Stevens fans?
Yeah, And
I have no relationship.
The first time I saw Honey Boy, and the last time, it brings chills to see Noah in the Even Stevens shirt.
Yeah, that's what my mom said.
And in a haircut, it's like, I don't know, it just brings you right back. And because he really does look like a young Shia.
Yeah.
In all the best ways. And he, like, kind of adopts an accent, and Lucas kind of adopts his
dialect. Lucas accent is insane. Like, especially in the car accident scene when he's like, what am I being arrested for?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was big on Even Stevens, big on Holes. I think Shia, I could call my best friend as a kid. And I loved Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, yeah, me too.
As a kid. But yeah, and then, like, everyone just kind of, like, I got the sense, like, everyone's making fun of him all of a sudden when I got into high school, and like late middle school or in high school. And, like, for Transformers and how he couldn't act anymore. And he did these, well, obviously we all know, like, the Just Do It and, like, watching his whole filmography.
Yeah.
So he definitely takes on social experiments.
Yeah.
And he never shied away from getting into trouble. But it's like, to me, I never saw it as like, come on, Shia, you're such a fuck up. Like, I always saw it as like, that's Even Stevens. Like, that's the guy from Holes. Like, I'm not going to turn my back on him.
He was in Holes?
He's the lead in Holes.
My grandfather is a background extra in that movie.
Do you think that's Shia?
No, definitely not.
No?
No. I don't think the scene he was in, I don't think Shia was in. So.
Do you think you got Shia's sex tape?
Your poor grandfather.
Oh, God, rest in peace. He's dead.
RIP. R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Love you, Grandpa.
He's taking that video to the grave.
Oh boy. God, if my step-grandmother finds this podcast, I'm so fucking dead.
And just like you, I saw Nymphomaniac. Right, great performance. A lot going on there. And Fury. He's like I think Fury's kind of a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So I mean,
he's
like,
good in that movie.
You know, David Ayer, and American Honey is an incredible. I mean, I love American Honey so much.
I do too.
He is so good in American, and his character in American Honey reminds me of this character a little bit, or at least he takes Andrea
it's
Arnold.
Sort of both approach. Really raw performances.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Clay, he makes my five in 2017 for sure.
Yeah.
American Honey.
With Shia, I always defended him. I don't know why, but I felt sort of like I wanted to protect him. It's a weird thing. Like, my mom, before she saw Honey Boy, always saw him as like wearing the bag over his head at the award show and like being really like political and very, very intense and all of his arrests. But like, for some reason, I always gravitated towards him, and I always wanted to defend him, always wanted to just, like, if anyone ever made fun of him, I would get defensive, and I never really knew why, and it was always just because, I guess, I had a connection with him from Transformers, and I always loved him, and then Honey Boy came out, and it just completely, like, made my defensive qualities towards him go through the roof, and, like, now, if anyone says anything bad about him, I get, like, angry, because I love him so much.
Yeah,
I feel like you know what I mean.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think he has. I think we're seeing it now more often. He has a very special kind of sensitivity.
Yes.
And
yes,
self-awareness.
Exactly.
I think Shia.
What is his? No, go ahead, Jack. Sorry.
Yeah, Shia is one that does not try to shy away from like what he really thinks and
yeah.
Express it in ways that just people won't expect. I guess that's...
And like I watched a ton of his interviews after I watched Honey Boy, and he's so sensitive and so caring. And if you watch the roundtable, like the actors roundtable he was on, the way he'll look at Robert De Niro, who's talking about his performance in The Irishman, like there's so much care and sensitivity in his eyes, and the way he talks about his father. Another one. That one hurts. But the way he talks about
that. Sorry.
The way Shia talks about his dad, and even the way he wrote his dad, is so forgiving and so sensitive. And I know if I were going to write something about my dad, I don't know how sensitive I would be. And I don't know how caring I would be. And he really is so caring and so sensitive, like you said.
Sensationalized.
No.
Or it's never trying to like course correct.
Yes.
And when I first saw it, that example came to my mind when Lucas Hedges is being arrested.
Right.
And that's something that is like very, very recent and something that we all know, as opposed to like the Noah Jupe portions, which we don't know. I think it's the opening montage into the opening with Lucas. I think that's supposed to be Transformers.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting. That's where he starts. Where it's like, all right, let's just get all of this over the, let's get it over with. Like, you guys know everything about this part of my life. And,
I never thought about it like that.
It's a very brave screenplay. Yeah.
It is.
I love the screenplay.
It was definitely my favorite screenplay of last year by far. My favorite movie, favorite score, favorite everything. But the screenplay, like you said, is so...
Alex Summers.
Alex Summers, yeah, I love him. But yeah, everything about it, just adore it.
Do you guys know that? So he presented the Oscars this year.
With the kid from Peanut Butter Falcon.
Exactly. And he was at, and Shia says, or someone says, I'm pretty sure Shia says this, that he was asked to present, and he said, I would only present if the kid from Peanut Butter Falcon came and presented with me. And that shows you that he's actually a good dude. No matter what, I don't know much about him. I don't know his political views. I don't really know too much of his drama. I don't even know really what Even Stevens is, let alone I'm so unexperienced Shy. I just know the only thing I do kind of remember is the three things that come to mind with my experience with Shia: the Just Do It video, the paper bag over his head, and him watching all of his filmography and the memes that came.
All iconic moments.
True. And that's all I really know about him. I know he was ridiculed. He was the butt of everyone's joke. He was the example of Disney star gone wrong. He was the pinnacle of damaged goods as an actor. Some kind of gnarly shit. Like, if we think about it, a lot of the criticism in the media narrative surrounding him is kind of fucked up. Because obviously this guy was going through some mental issues. I mean, I think we're all trying to wrestle with our demons mentally. You know, a lot of people have mental illness. A lot of people are struggling with depression, anxiety, and this guy Shia has PTSD. It's complete, these are facts. And this new media narrative surrounding it, and the way we've treated so many other up-and-coming child stars and people in the moment who have maybe some dramatic outbursts or are a bit eccentric. I'm not inventing the wheel here by saying the media is kind of fucked up and does some bad shit, but
wait, what?
It's still like it's still just,
I didn't know that.
Hang on, guys.
Media, no, but it's
like the news and the newspapers and the journalists.
They're bad.
Hold on. We gotta like maybe stop this.
They are sometimes half of the time, maybe most of the time, bad. But
so they like other people a little bit more than the other people. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, and they have ulterior motives.
Wait, what?
Okay.
R.I.P. Clay.
But no, I just think
I break this guy every recording.
Yeah, it's true. It just the whole thing recontextualizes a lot of my feelings on Shia, on the history I've had with Shia, on how I viewed everything because I was so distant, and how I was so pulled back from the entire situation with him and his relationship to the media and his relationship to others and all of the drama. So I think it's actually quite interesting, and I think this movie really puts that narrative into question, and also realize, you know, it also gives humanity to Shia, and that's what a lot of that's what the media tends to make sure to take the humanity out of these star personas as much as possible, and I think that's what this movie does. It shows actors and not just actors but celebrities or people in the entertainment industry in general. They show like, you know, these are actual humans. They're not your commodity. They're not your, you know, they're not your slaves. Yeah. They're not your processed meat. They're actual people.
I think that's what Honey Boy really did for him. And most, like he said in many interviews, that he didn't make this movie for anyone but himself. And he called it kind of like a selfish experience. And like you were saying, I feel like in a way it ended up being not so selfish, because it gave people more perspective on PTSD in the film industry, especially with child actors, and how people like Shia and people who grow up with a lot of money, you know, working in Hollywood, end up having some issues a lot of the time. And rather than looking at them and feeling like, oh God, they turned out this way, like they ended up being a horrible person, giving them a lot more, I guess, leeway to, you know, get themselves back into normal life, because they've never had a normal life. And in Honey Boy, he really shows that, like, the way he would steal food from the set because, you know, his dad wasn't there for him, and like just showing how in the trailers, whenever he got older, he would be drinking in between scenes, and showing his journey from being a child actor to being an adult actor is really interesting in the way that they show his mental illness. Like Clay was saying, like normalizing it rather than fictionalizing it is really important to Shia's journey into the social, like you said, how the media is not favorable sometimes to certain people. Very surprising information there. But finding that way to kind of give him a break and give him just giving him space, you know, and seeing him on talk shows. He went on one of the bigger talk shows and he just kind of came clean about his arrest. He was like, yeah, I was being a drunk idiot, like, and I got arrested, and it happened because I used to drink as a kid, and I'm not sorry for it. It's what happened, and I'm trying to get better. And that's why Honey Boy, I think, is just such a raw and very brave movie.
It's interesting you bring up Disney stars, because you see this cycle come out of the Disney Channel, and it's like everybody's expecting someone that makes it and has a career out of their Disney show, and like, okay, well,
it's the Disney curse, so to speak.
It is
Cyrus. It's, I mean, it's the whole thing of Spring Breakers, I guess.
Yeah,
it's like, but
and it's funny you say that about the child actors. After Honey Boy, my mom, her first reaction was like, I hope Noah Jupe has a good childhood. Like, I really like him. He seems like such a sweet kid. And like, her bringing that up just made me think, like, it's just a cycle, and it really like affects everybody, and especially these kids. And like seeing Noah Jupe and his like potential, and like seeing Shia LaBeouf as a child actor and seeing his potential and seeing where he went down that dark path, and worrying for Noah Jupe as well. It's just like, you look at these kid actors and Honey Boy just brings the reality all back to it, and you worry about them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also telling how that was your mother's first instinct to be like, I hope he has a good childhood, because I feel like that's that's what we see nowadays, because that's just been the unfortunate outcome of so many, like, so much, like, I don't want to say ruined lives, but, like, hardcore shit. Like, look what happened to Jake Lloyd after Phantom Menace. That dude will never be the same.
Yeah, he had a rough time.
It almost destroyed his life. I mean, I think Macaulay Culkin went through some stuff. Like, these kids, it's just, it's not built for them. It's really not. No. And it's, and it, and you can tell, and not, and people don't really know how to prevent it, I feel like. They all just kind of sit back and watch these kids get sucked into the meat grinder and come out the other end fucked up. Yeah. And so that's our first instinct, is when we see these child actors, or we see these, like, these kids getting this huge amount of popularity all of a sudden, and the celebrity, you're like, what is that going to do to them? Because childhood is such an influential time to a person. I mean, it's...
Right.
I mean, people think that's what describes us as people, or determines our outcome in life, is our childhood, which, and that's neither here nor there. But, like, it's, so when you see people like Zendaya, you're like, oh, maybe it, maybe this can, like, maybe we can figure this shit out. Maybe, like, they can be, if we, like, if we give them enough attention, maybe they can be okay. Or maybe it, like, or they have the right support system. But it's so tricky, because a lot of the times we just don't know. We don't really know the child, the actual child, like, behind the scenes. We don't know how the child is actually operating. We don't really know a lot of our favorite actors' childhood. Like, I'm trying to think of just, like, random actors come to mind. I don't know what their childhood was like. I don't know how Robert Pattinson was when he was younger. I have no idea. Right. I am, like,
and
you
that's
know,
why
is
I
that...
love Honey Boy. It's because you find out, you know?
Exactly. And it also makes you question, well, where did these people come from? How did they grow up? How was their parents? Like, were they exploited? Were they, like, harassed? Were they abused? Like, what, like, where do they come from? Or, like, what, how does that, you know, influence their actions and their behavior? And so, like, the, so I think this movie is important, because the next time you see ex-celebrity gets a DUI, or ex-celebrity crashes a car while drunk, or ex-celebrity goes into this profane tirade at a club or whatever, it's going to make you question, okay, but what were the, like, what led up to that? Were they just being an asshole, or were, like, they under extreme pressure? Were they, you know, react, like, reacting instinctively? What got them to do that, instead of just putting instant judgment, like the media would have you want, on people, you know? Like,
makes you
want
to see everyone's Honey Boy, like,
it's
Robert Downey Jr. or something.
Yeah, I was my mom and I watched Kiss Kiss Bang Bang the other day, which is great. We loved it. It's a great movie. And we were looking up the trivia, and apparently Val Kilmer refused to drink on set or behind the scenes during the entire production, as, like, a show of respect to Robert Downey Jr. And we talked about how absolutely just awesome that was of him. Mm-hmm. And, like, back to the alcoholism, Alma Harrell talked about the reason that she took on the project was because of alcoholic fathers and that epidemic in America just being so prevalent. And that was another reason I just adored the movie, is because I do have an alcoholic father. And so watching that film and seeing how beautifully portrayed that was, and it wasn't, it is, it's so much of a disease that just takes up your life. And whether it's his drinking, or at the end, whenever he goes back to the strip club and does whatever drug he does, and just seeing that relapse and seeing that, how it affects the child. I think you don't really see that a lot in movies. And if you do, it's from the parents' perspective of how it affects them. But in Honey Boy, Shia LaBeouf and Alma both took it in a way where you see how it affects Noah Jupe and how he transforms into, like, an adult so quickly. And he forms that relationship with FKA Twigs' character. And that is something that you would never have if your dad wasn't completely off the rocker. And I just love the way they showed alcoholism in that movie.
And you can kind of see Lucas Hedges becoming Otis, like, when this, in the scene when he slams the door, and it's like, oh, again.
That,
and you
that's,
have to, like,
such a great scene.
And you have to, like, hone it down, and he has to just like rewire his brain to become
such a powerful
like someone that he was never taught to be, you know.
Yeah, learning how to be rational. We really do inherit
our parents' traits. Yeah,
exactly. We do become our parents.
We talked about this on our Lady Bird episode, and I won't take up too much time. Or actually, you know what? Fuck it, I will.
I guess we should talk about Lady Bird instead.
I fucking love Lucas Hedges. He is my boy. This is going to sound really fucking weird, but there are a few people, like, I just, like these celebrities or actors or actresses that I see, there are just some I just want to give a nice hug to. Like,
and he's Guillermo one of them.
Yes, Guillermo del Toro is another. I want to give him a nice hug. I want to give a few people some nice hugs. And Lucas Hedges is on the top of that list. I just want to give him just a good hug. Just be like, he's the fucking best. I think he's incredible in this movie. I think he's almost the best part in any movie he's in.
Best part in Waves. I don't love Waves, but best part in Waves. Secret Weapon in Waves.
He is the best part in mid-90s.
See Waves.
Okay, then I'll just say, for anyone listening, I hope you agree.
He's definitely the best part in mid-90s. I just, like, and I also just love how versatile he is. I mean, his performance in Manchester by the Sea is some extraordinary work. And he got an Oscar nomination for that. He's in so many projects now. I just fucking love him so much. And seeing him was an absolute treat. And he was
around our age. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's weird to compliment people like this, but I feel like I support actors under 30 just because, like, it's one of us. No? Like, he's like 23.
He looks like 16.
He looks like how he looked in Moonrise.
Yeah. He's so cute in that movie.
Oh, he's so adorable.
I really love him.
He's so cool. He's just also nice. Ugh. Nice boy.
Nice boy. He's a very nice boy. He's a very cute boy. We need more nice boys. We need more nice guys in the world.
It's true. It's so true. So many things to be solved.
Nice guys catch last.
But yeah, this is my Lucas Hedges appreciation corner. Love him. Give him a nice hug. He's great in this movie. His scenes.
What's the best performance in Honey Boy for everybody? Mine is very obvious. It's Noah Jupe. He's the winner.
Oh, I thought you were going to say FK Twigs.
No.
Weird. Okay.
You're funny.
It's fun. It's hard not to say Shia.
Yeah.
He would... I think it's a performance that... I think as horrible Otis is, or Jimmy, right?
James, that's, I think.
James.
The
dad.
As bad as a person he is, you do see some moments of... affection, and it's like, since he is so, like, he has a lot of business going on.
James, always, by the way.
Okay, yeah. He has a lot of business going on, and there's some moments where you can't help but sympathize, and you can't, like, he's very watchable. It's a very watchable performance.
Yeah, so. And he moves very, like, clown-like, and he's very, very flowy and very, like, just all over the place, and you just, like, you get absorbed in his character, and you can understand why, like, everyone is just, like, he's flirting with the girl the first time you meet him, and you just, like, you know so much about his character in the first 2 seconds that you see him. His body language and his voice is so intoxicating.
Yeah.
I think my, okay, best performance, it's hard not to say Shia. My favorite, I mean, come on, it's Lucas. Oh, I love him. He's so cool.
The scene with Lucas where he says the one thing my father gave me was pain and you want to take that away, and then he breaks down crying. It's just it's so hard to watch. It's a great scene. He plays
anger so well. Like
he does.
And I never really care primal. Yeah.
Right. Like I love you see him very emotional. You see him very sad in a lot of his roles. Mid-90s, he's very angry, but you don't really see him do both at the same time, and that's why I loved him in this movie, because you see him breaking down on the inside, so upset, but then you also see how angry he is.
Yeah. I think, like, I don't know if it's my favorite scene, but, like, also, Martin Starr is good in this movie. Just like a random, he just randomly pops up and like, oh, it's Martin Starr.
Yeah, cool. He plays great.
The pool coach. Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. But like after Lucas comes into his office and like, you know, and has that weird exchange with him, like when he slams that door, so he, you know, walks up, he slams that door and Martin Starr comes out and he's like, hey, hey, Otis. And the way Lucas comes up to him, like he's about to go fucking wild and beat the shit out of him.
It's so crazy.
It's it's also like just like, and I love Martin Starr's just kind of like, okay, yeah,
he now just you're takes not supposed
it. To slam doors.
Oh, yep, and I love that conversation like, from before
he's
that.
So it's intimidating.
It's like you can't tell if Lucas is fucking with him, and you're on the side of Martin Starr where you're like, yeah, is he sincere or is he being just like, yeah, man, really helped for me to yell in a forest, like,
right?
Yeah, we're always acting. It's like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
and yeah, very interesting take on the character. I think this it could fall apart in that portion with the wrong hands, definitely.
I think it could fall apart that Lucas Hedges could be trying to imitate Shia LaBeouf in real life way too much. And I love that each portion, like the dad, Noah Jupe, and then Lucas all kind of take their own interpretation on it. And they never, Lucas Hedges doesn't try to replicate Noah Jupe, and Noah Jupe doesn't try to replicate Lucas Hedges. They kind of take their own interpretation on it. And I think that's what makes all of their performances so unique and so different and so good.
Yeah, it's true. And I love the detail, like you're, Katie, you were talking about Shia's voice and how it's kind of intoxicating in this movie. And I love like how he his voice is if his nose just doesn't fucking work. And I love that because it's a detail because like, whether this is necessarily true or not, because later it comes into question if his Alcoholics Anonymous stories has any, how much truth is in it.
Yeah.
I love that he says in that, like, he did so much cocaine that his nose doesn't work anymore. And I'm like, oh, that's why he talks like that. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking great. That's like, that's good. One, that's good writing. You don't, you don't yell from the rafters why he talks like that. And it's just a good character beat. Whether it be true or not, it's just good character work. It's a truly extraordinary movie in a lot of ways. I kind of want to quickly talk about this is something that I keep thinking about and something I probably should just read about because there's probably like Shia's probably talked about this, but how in God's name can you trust another person to direct this movie? That's a level of trust I can't even think about.
I know a lot about this. If you want me to talk about it,
please do.
No.
Yeah.
So
the floor is yours. Spotlight. So,
thank you. So Alma Harrell directed Bombay Beach, which is
I've heard good things.
Wonderful.
About that, by the way.
So good. If you guys really liked Honey Boy, I 100% recommend it. It's so good.
Is it and anywhere to stream?
I think it's on Amazon. I don't think you can stream it, but it's available to rent on Amazon Prime. So check it out if you can. It's so great. Yeah. But it's kind of music. It flows with Bob Dylan music, and it's not about Bob Dylan, but he's kind of like a voice in the movie. And so they sold that movie at like a record store, and Shia LaBeouf went to the record store, bought it. He rented it, I think, and then he had to return it, and he rented it like three more times. watched it so many times, and this was like right before he went into rehab, and he emailed Alma and he was like, hey, I loved your documentary. Like, I'd love to work with you sometime. And she happened to be a really big fan of his, and they had some quick interactions and blah, blah, blah. And then he went into rehab /, you know, his therapy in solitude. And it was after he had gotten arrested, and he had gotten his computer. And whenever he had computer time, he would email Alma and they would talk back and forth. And she would tell him, you need to write a screenplay about this. Your dad is haunting you. You need to do it. It would be not only helpful for you, but helpful like just to your entire recovery. And so that's exactly what he did. And so he would send her the screenplay. She would like tell him how much she loved it. And she had the idea that he was going to direct it. And at that point he said, and I think I'm quoting him, he felt like he was an atomic bomb. No one wanted to work with him. No one wanted to be around him. He was just seen as sort of just like a ticking time bomb. When is he going to get arrested next? You know, when is he going to cause another public scene? And so she was like, I can't remember if he offered it to her or she kind of took it in her arms, but he just did not want anything to do with the directing aspect. So he wrote the screenplay. She was set to direct it, and he wanted nothing to do with it besides writing it. He didn't even want to act in it. And she forced him to be in it. She was like, you cannot do this movie unless you are the dad. You have to. It would be so good. It would be so powerful. It would just be your best performance. And he did it. And he said multiple times in interviews that he had nothing to do. Every time they were on set, he would not direct. He would not give Alma advice. She would ask him rather than he telling her what to do. He left it all in her hands. And she said it was kind of her interpretation on his script rather than he told her how to do it. He told her how a scene went down, how a set was going to look. And it was just kind of a collaborative effort between them. So Clay, I think there was so much trust between them, rather than like, oh, I'm just giving the script to a director and she's going to do whatever she wants with it. It was, she wanted to do it and he wanted more than anything for her to do it. And there,
that's,
you go.
So fucking awesome. I just adore them. I was thinking it makes so much more sense now that they had like a personal intimate relationship before the movie. Like, it wasn't like,
because
they just,
I don't know how else would have done it, you know?
Seriously.
I wouldn't be able to.
Like, a studio would have set them up or something. Like, that would just never fly.
The story with Noah Jupe is that she found him, and it was in between him and another kid. And the other kid had never acted before, and Noah Jupe had acted in, like, A Quiet Place and, like, Suburbicon, of course, iconic movie. And Shia went in there and started working with Noah Jupe, and, like, they had, like, an instant, like, they kind of had like a riff and they were kind of like going off of each other. And that's how they knew it was all going to work out. And Alma gave him the final say in who was going to play him as a kid. So it was all Shia's choice. Whichever kid he connected to more was going to be the kid in the movie. And so it was just such a collaborative effort. And I think that's what in the end makes it such a good movie, is everyone was collaborating. And your boy Lucas, another thing about him is he apparently would not stop asking Shia LaBeouf questions on set. Like, Shia to the point was so annoyed at Lucas, because every scene he'd be like, hey, did I pronounce this word right? Hey, did I blah, blah, blah. He was so considerate and so like selfless with the script. Mm. And Shia LaBeouf was like, Lucas, you got to stop. I don't need any more questions. You take the role however you need to. I'm not going to tell you what to do. And so everyone in that movie is just so ready to give their heart into it. And that really shows in the final product.
I hadn't seen this in a while, but I saw this interview with him and Kristen Stewart with the Actors on Actors thing.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
I never watched that one.
You'll enjoy it. It's a lot of Shia. And I remember him talking about, there's five or six people on set, so not only is it just like, it's the three boys essentially, but it's also just a very small crew. So I think that's interesting how they tried to limit everything as tight as possible. Yeah, this movie definitely has the feeling of everyone trying to bring the best story as they can. Like, no one
exactly
was there for a paycheck.
No.
I would love a movie with Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, Shia LaBeouf, and Megan Fox in one movie.
That would be a disaster.
I so just... So
much tension.
That's a lot of ego, yeah.
I just... very... Because those are, like...
directed by Karen Kusama?
Sure.
Directed by the guy who directed the Breaking Dawn movie that Kristen Stewart had an affair with.
That's right. There's just... Yeah, I feel like, how do I say this? They seem like those narratives seem kind of similar to me. Like, big franchise movies, very like teen heartthrobs, both in messy relationships, and not, also, of course,
like fascinating careers after those franchises.
Exactly.
Like, you will not see them going, like Taylor Lautner, you know, you won't see them just like drifting off into oblivion. And I think there's something very interesting about that, trying to defy expectations. And the reason, I guess, like, okay, you know, you're drifting off into oblivion, but for a different reason. Like, you're not making nothing movies like Taylor Lautner, but you're making something that the public doesn't.
What are you talking about? Like, he did Abduction, the best movie ever.
Damn it.
On Valentine's Day.
I should throw this away.
Take it back.
I'm taking it all back. And it's not like everyone is going to watch American Honey and Honey Boy, right? So it's not like everyone's going to watch The Lighthouse and Lost City Z. You know, they're drifting off in just like for different reasons, not just because they're just not making shit.
They're just taking their own creative path.
A little bit like Ryan Gosling, too, to a certain extent. Like, everyone knows him as the heartthrob, and now he's employed again.
Finally.
We can get him off the McDonald's shift. And, so, like, everyone knows him as the Notebook. Everyone knows him as, you know, like...
Oh, my God, Jack, were you taking care of Daniel Day-Lewis at the retirement home?
You know, I...
was Ryan Gosling there as well?
They were actually visiting each other. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cute.
DDL actually cursed at one of the nurses because he didn't like his meal. So he's not doing the best. He needs Paul Thomas Anderson to just go in there, check up on him. Like, maybe Vicky Creeps
can make him an omelet.
Check up on make. So I do think it's after big franchises. Where you take your career is always going to be up in the question, you know, up in the air.
Up in the air.
And I'm curious, what does Shia do after this? Like, does he just, like, kind of, like, you know, I think maybe we're just, like, I don't know. Like, I
feel like he just does whatever he kind of wants to do. I feel like the ball's in his court to do any indie project that he would like to do. And I don't see him going back to big franchise after this.
Yeah. He definitely learned his lesson after Indiana Jones and Transformers.
I don't know if it's so much of a... I don't know if it's a lesson. I feel... Because I don't know if he hates big franchises. I feel like he just... He needs to kind of... I don't know. I can't read his mind. I don't know what he feels. I don't know what he wants.
Cool if we could read. That'd be cool if we could. That'd be neat.
I wish I could.
You know, I remembered my thought from earlier that I think everyone tried to push him too early. That's the other thing. Where it's like, we're going to make you a movie star. We're going to do it right now. After Holes, you're going to be in everything. So it's like, maybe it was just too much too fast. Like Jennifer Lawrence. Where it's like Jennifer Lawrence, everything. Hunger Games. David Russell. During Aronofsky, like, it was just so much at once. And of course, the winner an Oscar, she has so much money. I don't know, like, why did I go there?
And now she's taking a break from acting.
And now she's coming back, where it's like, it's good that there was a break between now and Mother.
Right.
So So,
yeah.
And I think Shia kind of
He has two upcoming projects, one with David Ayer, which I had no idea about.
I just looked it up too.
And then another one with another director. So he's doing some indie projects, yeah.
Wow.
David Ayer he's interesting.
He's a man. That's for sure. He's a man.
Yeah.
And he's doing man things, I guess.
Yeah. The governor in Georgia just we are now on lockdown. School is closed for the rest of the year.
Oh wait, you just got that?
Yeah, just now.
Oh.
You were like, what?
Listen to this cast of pieces. So this movie, Pieces of a Woman, with
Looks crazy. That cast.
I'm not gonna even try to pronounce the director's name. I apologize. Vanessa Kirby, Liza. I'm never gonna pronounce her last name right. But you know the stand-up comedian Liza Schreisinger.
That name we watch.
Sorry. Vanessa Kirby, Eliza, Shia LaBeouf, Sarah Snook from Succession. Molly Parker, Benny Safdie, half of the Safdie brothers, Ellen Bernstein, Jimmy Fails from Last Black Man in San Francisco.
It's a stacked cast.
And a weird cast. It's not even like the biggest actors known to man, but it's a very weird and intricate cast.
Right.
Very interesting. And then David Ayer's movie is The Tax Collector, the full, and no one knows what the plot is, but it's billed as a gritty urban street crime drama.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
With George Lopez.
It's gonna be like End of Watch comedy.
I've never seen End of Watch.
Yeah. It's a movie.
Okay.
I mean, Jakey and Michael Peña are good.
Yeah,
Jakey. I'd like to see Jake Gyllenhaal and Shia LaBeouf do something.
Oh, I would love to. Oh my gosh. That'd be
interesting.
Mm-hmm. What about Shia and a Denis Villeneuve movie?
Or we kill to see that. No, I mean, they can go ahead and cast him in Dune. Academy Award. Dune already has everyone else in it. You might as well just throw them in there. No one would even ask. You know, no one would know.
What if it's Lucas, Noah, and Shia?
Oh my god!
Random spice traders or whatever. I don't know what Dune is really.
I don't give a shit. Already have it ready to have 5 stars. Yeah.
There's spice traders or whatever. It sounds cool. Yeah, no, I'm interested to see where Shia goes. I hope he makes good decisions, but if he doesn't, I'll still have this movie. So, I think he'll be all right. I think he's got a good mind, headspace. Another thing I actually want to talk about, I love the thing about another thing, talking about humanity and how caring this movie is and how compassionate and how, it shows, a different side, a more intimate and
sensitive.
I guess I'm just gonna sensitive. Thank you. Sensitive side. I love how they portray. I have not gone to rehab, personally, but I do love how much they kind of rehab's a good place for people. sometimes a mental institution when you're going through some shit and you have healthcare professionals, mental health. Professionals just kind of helping you along, helping you address your trauma, diagnosing you for PTSD and trying to address it and be there for you. It's good. It's a place of healing. I mean, a lot of times rehab is like in movies, rehab is the downer place where just it's like, oh man, they're in rehab. That sucks.
Shia said that rehab and the police, the cop who arrested him saved his life. He said that, rehab is the best thing that ever happened to him. Like you said, it's portrayed very well in the movie. Not a downer place, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think another example recently is A Star Is Born. Rehab is kind of portrayed
I don't remember the rehab in that movie.
It's pretty awful. Yeah.
Like, who's the actor that Blank Check went on a whole thing about that Bradley Cooper meets in rehab?
Chet Hanks. Oh. Is that what we're talking about?
I almost did a spit take.
Yeah, that was good. It's like it was rehearsed.
Oh boy, Chet Hanks. Now that's my king. That's a person.
I gotta find
it. That's a human being.
You'll know what I'm talking about once I read this name. Hang on.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of it too because I know who you're talking about.
Yes. It's a great bit.
Alec Baldwin's in that movie.
Oh yeah, no, he's on SNL. He introduces Lady Gaga.
Oh, that's right.
Is it Andrew Dice Clay? No. It wasn't Andrew Dice
Clay. I think it's Ron Rifkin.
Ron Rifkin. Yes.
There you go.
Remember, like Ben was like, "I want to be Ron Rifkin," and Griffin was like, "I want to be with Ron Rifkin," and David was like, "I want to swim with Ron Rifkin." Like you're saying different things about Ron Rifkin.
That's so weird. I don't remember that scene.
Rehab. Yeah.
It's right after he pisses himself at the Grammys, and he iconic. Then like, and then Lady Gaga comes to comfort him, and then he just starts to sob.
Right, we've all pissed ourselves at the Grammys.
He just starts to sob uncontrollably and says he's sorry like 1,000 times, and like how he embarrassed her, and so that's in the rehab.
God, I
don't know why I don't remember that. I like that movie. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I like it too.
My favorite part personally is when he crushed the pill with his boot. I just think that's so good.
Why do I not remember anything about this movie?
It's good.
You know, he crushed it. Like, it was so easy for him. It was like, oh man.
How much time do we have left? I'm just trying to just make sure.
How long do we have
to go on? Yeah, we can go on if you need to go. We can wrap it up, but you know, we're game.
No, it's okay. Can we wrap it up at like 5:45, like 10 minutes?
Yeah, sure. Totally.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's actually a good place to. Should we go into our favorite scene? Because I feel like we've really talked about a lot of elements.
One part that I just thought of that is really well to. I guess structured how the abuse kind of evolves. It starts out kind of like verbal, a little bit kind of pandering, I think, to Otis, and then you see it like he abandons him. Of course, like you mentioned earlier, he has to steal some snacks from the set because the dad isn't there. And then like the whole Tom incident, which we never mentioned, like I think that's a very formative kind of abuse. And it just evolves into something greater with the slap at the end of I very hard scene, and I knew when it was coming this time. I was just like, oh. God, man, because it's like Noah, you know this, he's endlessly sympathetic.
You just want to take care of him.
Yeah, you don't want to see that face touched at all.
No.
This is a very extraordinary kind of relationship.
So
just to example, I'm not as is.
What scene is your favorite?
You want to go into favorite scene? Okay, you go first.
I think I have mine.
Clay, go ahead.
Two are bouncing around in my head. I think the scene Katie, you were talking about earlier about Lucas Hedges saying that you want to take away.
Yeah.
You want to take away the one thing. Which is, that's a great scene. Or like maybe it's not necessarily the scene with the line of, you know, you're only here because I pay you.
Yeah.
Is fucking heartbreaking, and it's such a fucking gut punch, and it's so well timed. I mean, this movie, I don't know if we've talked about it like necessarily enough, but like, I mean, we've talked about it, but like, it's so well directed. It's so well directed, and I mean, the way she, like, Harrell uses sunlight, very true, and I love how the way she uses like sunlight and how that really puts the mood into each scene. I mean, I just think it's just pretty extraordinary with like what she's able to do and how she's able to stylize it without sensationalizing it. I can barely speak. But I think the timing and the way that's edited and the structure of that scene when he says, like, when it's just all that build up to, you wouldn't be here unless I paid you, is so well done. So, but it's either those two. I guess I'll go with Lucas Hedges saying,
because that's your boy.
Yeah, it's my boy. I love him.
I think another thing about that line is like it confirms what we already know, because we never see James go into his job. Like, it's not like he works at a gas station or something like that. Like, we just kind of suspected this whole gig that Otis has, just like that's the income. So it's very, very heartbreaking. You guys, yours, or should I go?
You can go.
Okay. I think mine might be the whole sequence when he's hanging out with a prostitute, but I forget her name.
Oh, a shy girl.
She's credited as a shy girl.
That's her name, shy girl.
Okay.
It's just a good name.
Yeah, I think it's, you can see how much that Otis is missing that maternal connection.
Yeah.
Unconditional.
So stunning.
The scene in the junkyard is great. Everything. It's really cool.
Good shit.
That's my favorite scene, is the one in the bedroom with them. It's a combination of like motherly love and the affection he never gets from his dad, and it's so stunning. And FKA Twigs, like, her character is just so sensitive and delicate, and every like I was talking about earlier with how Shia LaBeouf moves, everything about his movements are so harsh and so like aggressive, and everything about her is so like delicate and sensitive, and like you feel like she couldn't hurt a fly. And that's why that scene for me, it's just so stunning and just so sensitive, and like the way that he pays her at the end, it just breaks my heart, because it's the only thing he knows. And I was talking to someone about it, and they brought up the point, maybe he's seen his dad and that's why he knows to pay her. Maybe he's seen his dad slide money to a girl before, and that's the only reason he knows to give her the cash. And it just shows how he's so sweet and pure and innocent, but he still has his dad's demons inside him. It's just such a well-rounded scene.
I agree.
You can also interpret that from the way that James talks about women.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh man, I wish I had your fame, your kind of status in the world.
Yeah, and whenever he's like, oh, did you fuck my son? And she's like, no, you fucked your son. And just that scene also is so great. I love that. That's
a great line. You know, she used to date Shia LaBeouf. I had no idea.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
Very interesting.
They fit well together. Mm. They're both interesting.
Yeah, that's a good word for Shia.
Do we
and
like
his...
that couple or Mia Goth and Shia?
I mean, I have no opinions, honestly.
I have no opinions on them. Whoever they want to date, I'd like to see Mia Goth and FKA Twigs date. That's all I'm gonna say.
That'd be cool.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
sounds good to me. Yeah. Katie, thank you so much for coming up. This is a blast.
This was so fun. And I had such a great time.
Well, we're very happy for that, because that's what we try to do. Just want to have a good time. It's a weird time in America and a weird time in the world right now. Just want to have a good time and talk about movies. I would love to get you on an Ex Machina episode because we haven't covered that. And we need to cover Garland. Anytime, and I think we'd be perfect for that.
Anytime you guys want to, I would do Annihilation as well. I love both of those movies equally. And Briarly. Anytime you guys are starving for a guest, I'd be happy to pop on.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. That's awesome. Yeah, we would love
to
have you.
Time is on our side,
so. Yeah, time is on our side. Katie, where can everyone find you on the internet? And, you know, what do you have to plug?
What am I plugging? So, on Twitter, I'm at NoahJupe, HIVE. So, keeping that Noah Jupe brand strong. And then on Letterboxd, I'm Ingrid Goes West. And then I'm doing right now, if you guys, this would be fun. I'm doing the April scavenger hunt right now. I forget who organizes that, but, it's like a 30-day thing. You pick out a movie every day. I'm really excited to do that. So if you go on my page and look at my list, it's like the first one on there. You guys should participate. It's a lot of fun. So I didn't organize it. Some guy named Nooshin, NOOSHIN, organized it, but it's a lot of fun. So that's where you can find me. And I hope you guys enjoyed my company.
Of course.
I can speak for both of us, and we really did.
Yeah. I'm Jack A. Draper on Twitter, and my writing is on The Simple Cinephile. Clay, what can everyone look at you?
Everyone can find me at ClayFilm100 on Twitter, on Instagram, on Letterboxd.
Is it still there?
I've talked to Jack about this. I'm trying to figure out how to. I think ClayFilm100 needs to die.
That's kind of a genius name, though.
It is. It's just been there for a long time, and maybe
many interpretations. Should we film you? Do you like film?
Do you like 100 films only? Is that all you like? 100
films are pretty cool.
That's the cutoff.
Yeah, so if anyone has any suggestions on what to change, I'm looking for maybe a good pun. I've been trying a few. Nothing really worked out.
At Noah Jupive.
Okay, I think that's
stinking. A great one.
I have a clay hive? No, I'm joking.
Clay hive.
Yeah, there's a huge hive of clays. Right. You know, we rule the world. Yeah, so if you have any suggestions, anyone, just hit me up. I'm trying to figure it out. Need a good pun. I think I need to let like Kylo Ren says, you gotta let the past die. Did not think I'd quote Kylo Ren in this episode. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. You can follow us at ETT Pod on Twitter. Please rate, review, subscribe, leave us a comment or a voicemail on Anchor. Next week, we should have Inside Llewyn Davis with Eric Zipper. Am I correct in that, Jack?
We do not.
What?
It's Sally Dar Griffin and Andrew Van Houten.
It's canceled.
Wait.
Well, I don't know when to release that episode because we already had Sally Dar and Andrew. I don't know what we're doing.
Next week is actually me, and we're talking about Honey Boy again for another hour and a half.
We could do it. I mean, we could do it.
My poor mother has had to hear me talk about that movie for at least 10 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but no, I'm sorry if I misled you, man.
You lied to me, Jack. You fucking lied to me. You just
but you didn't remember that we already had.
Lied to me.
I feel like I shouldn't be here. I feel like I'm watching a couple quarrel.
Listen, the point is,
traitor.
Whatever it is we talk about, I'll know tomorrow and I'll tweet about it. So
it'll be fun either way.
It will be great. I'm excited for all three of those guests. I'm very interested in that Sally Dark Griffin episode. I actually can't wait for that. And we love Eric, so that'll be fun. Whatever our episode may be, we will see you guys next time on Exiting Through the 2010s.